Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Andy Shea and Bob Flounders. Ross Tucker will be along shortly for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. So guys, let's get right to it with the news of the week. Most of that is about coaching staff changes. I'll start with you, Bob. Ty Howell, new tight end coach, met with the media. How was he on that call, and what's the background on Ty Howell?
Yeah, he was good. You could tell he is a North Carolina native that comes through, through and through, definitely a Southerner. I do remember him a little bit from his days when he played at Penn State. He was actually, you know, he was there for a while. He was part of the 2008 class. That class had Michael Mowdy and Michael Zordich in it. So he was a Joe Paterno recruit. But he didn't really get to play until very late in his career under Bill O'Brien. He played on the offensive line. He started in 13, I think, at center. Played a little guard in 2012. But this was a guy that I remember at the time when he was playing. I think I remember Bill talking about. He was the son of a high school coach. And, you know, a guy that was very well respected in North Carolina, his father was. And Ty said he knew from the time he was in high school he wanted to be a football coach and take it as far as he could go. And literally after he left Penn State, he was kind of all about that. I think he was a grad assistant at North Carolina State. I think he learned a little bit from Matt Canada, who was Pitt's OC. I think he's now the Steelers' OC. And then one of Bill O'Brien's assistants, Charlie Fisher, went to, I believe, Western Illinois. Ty Howell spent some time with him there, and he did a little bit of everything, a lot like Tyler Bowen did. He was a play caller, an offensive coordinator. He coached the O-line. He was there for a few years. James Franklin had him as a staff analyst in 2020. And then, boom, Tyler Bowen leaves. And, you know, rather than look outside for the tight ends coach, he promoted from within. He's not even 30 years old, guys. I think James Franklin's really good. He does it in recruiting circles. We talk about Penn State identifying talented players maybe as 3 or 4 stars, and then later on in high school they become 4 or 5 stars when the rest of the world figures out how talented they are. I wonder if that's the case with Ty Howell. I wonder if he's got a guy that he thinks he can shape and mold. He clearly can recruit, or James would not have promoted him. But I think Ty can do a little bit of everything. I think he can coach the tight ends. I think he can help with the offensive line. He could probably even help a little bit, give some input to Mike Yurcich. I think it's a good hire. It doesn't really feel like a sexy hire because Ty Howell wasn't exactly, you know, a guy that you remember at Penn State. But sometimes those are the coaches you want, the guys that are really dedicated, the guys that have worked hard, the guys that have kind of always kind of had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I'll be curious to see how Ty Howell's career unfolds, not only at Penn State, but I'm sure there'll be some life after Penn State for him as well.
Andy, how significant is it to bring a Penn Stater into the fold on the coaching staff?
Yeah, I think that's important for guys like you, right, Jimmy? And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Like, there's a large fan base that still wants, that's important to them, right? Like, that really matters to them that he played at Penn State and went to Penn State and he's a quote-unquote Penn Stater. But I honestly don't think I don't think that means much to James Franklin. I think that's kind of low on his priority list. He's looking for a guy that can recruit and coach the position. And the interesting thing about this hire to me, just real quick, is he played offensive line and he's coached a bunch of positions. They've developed tight ends extremely well, say the last 8, 9, you know, years, recruited them pretty well, developed them pretty well, and sent them to the NFL, right? And they're still doing more of it. Now they got a guy that can maybe, they've got some talent there. I think one of his responsibilities was maybe to make them a little bit better blockers, right? Like, just take these guys to the next level as blockers. They're already got some pass catching skills and some athleticism, but take the next level of player development to making them, you know, maybe a little bit better blockers. And he seems like, you know, suited for that on many fronts. Plus, he's young and he can recruit. And the fact that he's a Penn Stater, bonus, bonus, bonus.
Good for guys like you, Jim.
Well, first of all, Andy, I will speak for all of us Penn State fans who you offended.
No, I didn't. By say,
just hold important. On. Just hold on. What we like about having a Penn Stater come in, and I think Ty Howe has demonstrated this, this is a guy who truly loves Penn State. And I think when talking to players, to potential players, you will be able to sell the team, sell the college, sell the school, sell the area because you went through it and you enjoyed it and it meant a lot to him. So that is it for our Andy Shea portion of the show. He may or may not be joining us again in the coming week. So let me turn to you, Bob, my sole guest on the show. Let's go to the other edition. Penn State did make it official. Anthony Poindexter, who James Franklin was open-minded enough to bring in a guy who doesn't have a Penn State background, Andy. And what do we know about Poindexter? He has quite a background, doesn't he? Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking Andy.
I'm not saying a word.
I
just threw a shot in there at Andy. That's all was about. Bob.
I didn't know you were done unloading on Andy. Probably deservedly so. I think James Franklin, first of all, my initial reaction is he's going back to the well, right? He mined some gold with Taylor Stubblefield, you know, the guy that's coached all over the place and played at Purdue. Poindexter was an All-American safety at Virginia, but he coached at Purdue. He's got coordinator's experience. I think he's pretty well regarded as a recruiter. And maybe I have to think that James has been a fan of him for a long time. You know, Purdue's not necessarily known for defense, but I'm not sure that really matters. I don't know that that's necessarily about Poindexter. That just might be more about Purdue recruiting in general. I think they have developed some good individual talent at Purdue, but they're not a school that's going to get a lot of, I think, four-star players. But Poindexter was a great player, you know, replacing Tim Banks, who's now the Tennessee defensive coordinator. The thing I just want to see right away is it's great that he can recruit, but and we've talked about it, they have to get better production out of their safeties that they recruit. They can't just keep borrowing from other positions and kind of piecemealing the safety position. And I'm just thinking right now about a guy that's going to be, because they didn't lose any eligibility, there's going to be a guy that's a freshman again this year that didn't really play at all last year, Enzo Jennings, that high profile safety recruit from Michigan. I would like to see Penn State's coaching staff actually develop a heralded safety prospect. I know they've done it sometimes. Obviously, Marcus Allen was a great story, but lately, I think they've missed too many, Jimmy, on the safety evals. And maybe Poindexter can do something to change that. They got to get better safety play, out of the guys they're recruiting. You can't keep hoping that the JUCO additions like Jaquan Brisker and Jair Brown are going to bail you out. You can't keep borrowing from the wide receiver and running back positions to bail you out at safety. I'm real curious to see what he can do as far as not only recruiting, but developing him once they get to Penn State.
And Bob, we were talking off the air how it seems with all the changeover in coaching, a little bit on defense, they've been getting a pass, and perhaps a new set of eyes there in the room could be helpful there. And I certainly don't think it hurts that he has a Virginia background and hopefully be able to do some recruiting. Yeah. From there. All right, I think I'm ready to forgive Andy and bring him back into the fold.
He's not a Penn Stater, so he obviously can't recruit Poindexter, right?
All right, that's it. I was going to give you one more chance, and you blew it, Andy. You blew it. You had your opportunity. I was letting you back in, but no. All right.
I love it.
I'm going to change the topic off coaches for you, Andy. Let's talk about there's going to be a big money investment into the Lash building. It was just recently approved by the board. is this a case where, you know, you got to keep up with the Joneses, the Sabins, the Dabos, Sweeneys, just to stay in? It's an arms race, and you need to do this to stick with them, right, Andy?
Yeah, Ohio State. And let's say this about Lash. It's not a bad facility, right?
Right.
It's not a bad college facility. Is it above average to elite? No, absolutely not. And I think that is where this is going. Like, they need, like, if you go to Clemson, I've seen it. It's ridiculous. Like, the entire thing, not just one aspect of it. Like, just, it's huge, and the entire thing is impressive. Penn State doesn't have anything, quote unquote, impressive. Nothing is bad about their facilities at all, but they don't have a showpiece. So I think you can spend some money, well-spent money, on Lash and sort of make it a bit of your showpiece. And I think that's why they're going to invest the money in it. It's not a bad facility either. It's not like it's antiquated, outdated, or doesn't serve the purpose. It does. So that's where you're going to get the non-athletics, you know, well, why are you spending money on it? Well, you do got to keep up with the Joneses. Otherwise, your Saturdays are going to be, you know, 4-8.
Well, you know, there was some high-profile criticism of it, Bob, and that came from an interesting name, and that was Jay Paterno. And because of his last name, when he, you know, speaks, it's going to get attention. What did you think of Jay's response?
I don't know if I could say I would be surprised by it. Jay's always kind of stuck to his principles, even dating back to when he was a coach at Penn State. He's obviously been, no one's been trained in the Paterno way more than Jay, raised by his father. His father had very, his father believed in what he believed in. I just don't know how many people would agree with that in today's modern age. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with Jay, but it's not 1980 or it's not 1995 anymore. I agree kind of with what Andy said. They have to kind of keep up. It's crucial to recruiting. It's crucial to, you know, a lot of stuff that Penn State's trying to do if they're going to be a top 20 football team. And it was interesting to note that LeVar Arrington spoke up, I think, right away, I think after what Jay had to say. So it's not just us that are wondering about what Jay said, but I think some former players really kind of see the need that Penn State needs to get its act together when it comes to facility upgrades.
They definitely do, and football carries the load for the rest of the athletic department. That is it for quarter number one. Stick around. Quarter number two, we'll bring Ross in for Tucker's Tape.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about sauces like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.